time for Vanessa and Gallant.
That sounds good. I'll have that.
Featuring Vanessa Richardson.
This is not a common opinion. This is not a popular opinion.
And Paul Gallant.
I think for the average person that sees me, they don't know that I'm a cat dad.
On ESPN 97.5 and 92.5 from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Vanessa Richardson and Paul Gallant.
Oh, they know you're a cat dad now, Paul Gallant. Everybody knows about Aria.
I agree.
I'm Vanessa Richardson, Paul Gallant, the cat dad. For me, this is not a popular opinion. This is not a common opinion. And then Sean Mapes behind the glass, as always. Thanks for joining us on this lovely Tuesday.
I really want to know what that opinion was that you were setting up.
Don't remember. Was that from our... That was from our fake show, right?
That was from our fake show,
that
yes.
That was from our secret fake show that nobody could know that we were doing.
The deep fake. We said so much bleeped up stuff on that show.
We really did.
It was crazy. We really went in on that one politician.
We really went in for it. We just really wanted the job. So, all right. So, Astros, not a lovely day for them yesterday. For some reason, the Oakland Athletics...
It's so stupid.
It is very dumb and very frustrating. The Astros fall to the A's 7-5. In Oakland, what is up O with Odo?
Wow, I see what you did there.
Thanks.
I'm going to give that a...
Dad joke of the day.
A D minus. Like, you know,
Odo no Rizzy. More like Nodo Rizzy. I don't know. The guy has a blister. He said he's really hurting.
Yeah, that was a rough fourth inning. It really escalated pretty damn quickly. I remember... going off to the side to cook something for myself, thinking, I'm not going to have to pay that much attention to this game, am I? And then all of a sudden I hear, and the A's really putting it on from Todd Callis. And then all of a sudden everyone's at the mound looking at Jake Odorizzi, and I'm wondering what the heck's going on. So he has a blister, I guess?
He has a blister, and he did. Shout out to AT&T Sports, because I wanted to find out what Jake Odorizzi himself has to say about it, because you hear everybody talking about it, blister. Here's what Jake said about his finger situation.
Yeah, just pretty much like halfway through the second inning, I had a cut, like the callus on my finger, just started fraying off, and like every pitch I was throwing was, it just kept getting a little more ripped, but the sensation is, you know, like a shocking, zinging sensation from that, and then that exposed like the skin underneath, and then I got a blood blister underneath that, and then that just, you know, it kept getting worse, but it's something I pitched through before, so it wasn't really in my mind to be like, hey, we can't pitch anymore. It was, you know, it's not fair to give the bullpen 7 innings of relief when I'm still physically able to pitch. You know, it's just not in my MO to let them wear it for no reason.
He is right that it is not fair to put that all in the bullpen. I don't know that I ever needed to know that much about blisters, but... shout out to Jake Odorizzi for at least being descriptive and giving us a soundbite.
You explain a blister in that kind of detail, you can understand why things maybe hit the fan for him. I know he's trying not to make excuses there, and that he's saying he wanted to stay out so that the bullpen did not have a lot of work on their plate. But when you're not pitching well, you're not pitching well, and he wasn't pitching well, and... I wonder how long this blister is going to keep him out, I guess. Hopefully this is only a, you know, something that can be, I guess, healed within 5-10 days or something like that. I don't know, though. You know, the last time around, it just was interesting the way that it all...
like with the stretcher?
First went down, yeah. That it makes me wonder a little bit about him. It's weird that Oakland continues to have the Astros number, and I guess we could maybe say, well, yeah, he just had a blister, and it got worse and worse and worse for him out there. But, I mean, man, you shouldn't be giving up 7 runs to the Oakland A's.
Elvis Andrus, Tony Kemp, Sky Bolta, all playing as if they almost like they want to get traded, wink, wink. But they had good games.
I love how there's a guy named Sky Bolt.
I love that, too. Sky Bolt is a great name. Elvis Andrus is a great name as well. It's not as baseball-y. Like, Sky Bolt is very sportsy. Elvis Andrus seems like he should obviously be like a musician.
How many Elvises do you know?
I mean, that one, and then the Hunka Hunka Burnin' Love, R.I.P., right?
Yes, and Elvis Costello. Yeah.
Here's my thing with Elvis Costello. His wife, Diana Krall, fun fact, one of my favorite jazz singers. I've seen her in concert.
Okay.
Real thing.
Diana Krall. Interesting.
Yeah. I'm deep. Thank you.
You could have told me Diana Krall does anything, and I'd be like, oh.
I go to jazz. Damn. I go to jazz concerts, so I'm smart.
You're also old.
That is true. That's the third Elvis I know. Elvis Andrus, Elvis Presley, Elvis Costello. Are we missing any Elvises? Elvi, if you will?
I'm sure that there's another Elvis out there that we're forgetting about, but it's a weird name. No one has really taken it on.
No, no one has.
It's not like it's Adolf or something. You would think there would be more Elvises the last generation.
Yeah, I mean, people our age, we don't remember Elvis, but, you know, he's definitely still like a legacy. What's the movie with
I love making the Twitch line
Austin
mad.
Austin Butler.
When we say like, yeah, like Elvis, he was around a long time ago and no one's heard his music unless they have a record player. They get
it's true.
I know. So they get worked up about it.
So the thing that gives me hope about the Astros is that when they get behind, they can come back. They did it a little bit in the sixth. Chasmanian Devil went deep for a two-run blast, continuing to prove that he is worthy, in my opinion, of a nickname. But that comeback was not enough. Thus, they fall 7-5.
Yeah. Again, you get put in a bad situation. And you really have to struggle to score runs the way that the Astros did last night. I mean, my God, Yordan Alvarez stole home on a double steal. Sort of shows you how desperate they were to get any production across the plate. It's one of those nights where you're just like, damn, I don't know how Oakland is able to do what they do against Houston this year. Because, yes, this Oakland team sucks. You could hear the one fan in the crowd throughout the game going, "Let's go, Oakland!" Like, there's one person in the crowd. I don't even think their band showed up like they normally do for most games. We didn't even see any of the seagulls that are traditionally there.
Or any of the cats.
Well, we should see the cats. But the cat, you know, cats are chill and they kind of keep to themselves, generally.
All right, the Astros play the A's again tonight, and then they play the Mariners on Thursday. Paul, the Mariners will be here in Houston. Are we going to see a revival of the shirt?
No.
Nah, that was a one-time deal.
I mean, look, it's too close to the last weekend, and here's the deal. As much as I have an affinity for that team, I want to wear that feeling some pride about the team that I used to cover. And I feel this past weekend showed me that, yeah, there's one thing that should be seen out in public as things currently stand right now.
Gotta stay with the wife.
Yeah, I gotta
Paul
stay with
is
the wife.
On his second marriage, but he does have a mistress.
Technically,
his first marriage was to the Red Sox.
Yes, yes.
Second marriage to the Astros. I would never say you were married to the Mariners. I'm sorry. It was only 2 years. Not trying to be mean, but
is true love dead? Can I not get married after a year?
Wouldn't that mean, Sean? Wouldn't that mean that he would have had to marry the Mariners and then remarry the Astros?
Oh, yeah, that's true.
Yeah, it would be like a Kim Kardashian, Chris Humphries situation.
Right.
Where it was like, you know, whatever, 40 days.
Okay, so this was a separation, but we never signed the papers.
You were separated.
It's something a little bit bigger than a rebound, I would say. Mm-hmm. It's like the next big relationship, but it's not marriage.
Yeah. I gotta say, they were looking so hot. They'd worked out on the gram. They were dropping thirst traps left and right, dad ass though. And then I go up there and they're drunk the whole weekend. I mean, that's what it was. That's what it is. And yeah, so when this series comes back this weekend, I can't do it. I can't in good conscience do it. But I, you know, had this past weekend been a little bit more enjoyable for me, because it's all about me.
It was all about you.
Might be a little different.
I should note that after the Mariners, I'm looking at the Astros schedule, they do play the Red Sox. So not only are the Astros playing Paul's mistress,
oh, but that won't
but then
be a problem.
It's the ex spouse.
Yeah,
I know
I want
you don't
that
like
to
the nobody
shove
likes
the Red
their,
Sox teeth in. Yeah,
their ex spouse.
That's true.
Right. This is the second ex.
Based off of my own parents, yes, my mom and my dad. It's been 20 plus years, and let's just be honest,
not
they
fans.
Still haven't gotten over it. I have, guys. I've gone through all the scarring. I've gone through all the trauma. I don't know. Maybe be a little more cordial with one another.
Shout out to Paul for dealing with all that. With all seriousness, I remember when I found out you went to high school in Tampa Bay, and I'm like, why? Why would you move to Tampa Bay? And you're like, divorced. And I was like, oh, sad. I almost fought a guy at a bar last night.
Yeah, you brought this up on the text line.
So let me just tell you, as a former waitress, former bartender, so I was at Eddie V's in River Oaks, just getting a drink. I'm not obviously not eating there because it's. I don't like to spend that. If I ever have a meal that nice, just know I'm not paying for it. So I was just sitting at the bar drinking and just had one dirty martini.
Hell yeah, that's the way to go.
And
extra dirty or dirty?
Oh, extra filthy.
Ooh,
all
so
the olive
porn
juice.
Star dirty.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay. That's one way to describe it. So I know these guys from a mile away. Guys that act like they own the place. And this guy that was sitting next to me at the bar kept trying to talk to me. I was trying to watch the Astros. I was friendly, cordial, whatever. He at one point...
How old was he?
Said, oh, in his like 50s.
Okay.
At one point says that my drink is Galveston Bay Dirty, which I laughed at because it, you know, it's true. And then he said that it was a stupid drink to get. So I look at him and he's drinking vodka soda. So I say, hey, bud. You're not exactly drinking, I did say bud. I said, hey, bud, you're not exactly drinking the strongest form of whiskey over there. And then he got mad at me. And he goes to the bartender. She has no idea who I am. I said, what are you, the owner? Are you Eddie? He said, no, I'm not Eddie. I said, who are you? He said, a regular. I said, I don't care if you're a regular. You're not worth anything. I know Richmond. They don't act like that. So no physical confrontation, but I almost got my phone out and Karen'd him.
Oh, don't Karen anybody. But at the same time, imagine the balls on someone. To, first off, sit down at the bar next to somebody and just continue to try and shoot his shot. Because
yeah.
What he was 100% doing, Vanessa, is he was trying to neg you. He was trying...
What does neg mean?
That this is from that stupid book, The Game, which was written by some playboy named Mystery way back in the day. And what you want to do is you want to, like, frustrate the other person because that... Yes, exactly. To make that face, twitch.tv/ESPN97.5 happen... And then after that, they move from there. But imagine being a guy in his 50s and thinking that they're going to kick out, I don't know, the woman in her 20s as opposed to the older man.
Yeah. Awkward. If it was you at Eddie V's last night, I know who you are, and I will not be your friend.
Wait, is he actually famous, though?
Absolutely not. He's just a regular.
That is wild to be like, don't you know who I am? I'm a regular
here.
He's
literally just a regular there. And I know, like I said, used to work at a bar. I could spot these guys a mile away. So, but I did not fight last night. I drank my dirty martini and watched Dave Bitter.
Oh, man, you should, you know, in Southie, south of Southie, check that.
Is that Boston?
Yeah, that's Boston. You know, if you've watched the movie The Departed, you see how we deal with someone who starts acting up at a bar? You know what I do? I get my glass right here. You know, and I say like, oh, you want a drink right here? You want a drink? Then you smash them in the back of the head with the cocktail glass.
Yeah, people
That's
say,
a real classy way to do things here.
People say kill them with kindness.
I say kill them with a cocktail glass to the back of the head.
Yeah, that's a little more my style. All right, coming up on Vanessa and Gallant, what does independent study mean to you? Well, according to a certain NFL franchise, it's something they had to put in a contract to ensure their quarterback did his job. It's a very Texans type story, but it is not the Texans.
That's
coming up.
97.5. You're listening to Vanessa and Gallant on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Vanessa Richardson and Paul Gallant.
All right, 24-year-old Kyler Murray, he's almost 25, agreed to a 5-year extension with the Cardinals. It was announced July 21st. The financial details, $230.5 million, $160 guaranteed. That was all according to ESPN and NFL Network, of course. A lot of money for a guy, but he is a franchise quarterback. He's somebody that they wanted to lock down. Well, yesterday... there's apparently somebody in the building that doesn't like Kyler Murray very much because the details of his contract were leaked to the media. This doesn't happen very often, these specific details. These things aren't public record. But somebody felt the need to tell Ian Rappaport about these details. Let me read to you the addendum in there that includes an independent study. Player shall receive no credit for independent study for any period during which player does not personally study the provided material in good faith. 4 hours.
In good faith, okay.
Complete at least 4 hours of independent study per game week during the NFL season. So at least 4 hours away from the facility. Players shall not receive any credit for independent study with respect to any time period during which any material is displayed or players on an iPad or other electronic device. So basically, they cannot give him money if they find out that he has not been doing 4 hours of independent study.
But how are they going to find that out?
It is a league-issued iPad
okay.
where they can track his activity.
Okay.
Allegedly. Here's Ian Rappaport with a little bit more in detail of this very strange addendum to Murray's contract.
I did a double take, too, and you know, in fact, as far as I can tell, this type of language is not in any other player's contract, certainly not any big-time, big-money quarterback. But here's what it is. There is, in Kyler Murray's new five-year extension, $230.5 million contract extension based on new money, an addendum that is essentially an independent study clause. What this means is that Kyler Murray has to study, by himself for 4 hours per game week. He's okay, but 4 hours per game week, needs to do it on the team-issued tablet, which, of course, teams can now monitor. If he does not do this, he is in default and will essentially lose his guaranteed money according to the addendum of his contract. It also says in there that he is not allowed to be doing anything that would distract him from studying, such as video games or TV.
Okay, but how are you going to stop him from doing those last two things? You can't track that on the iPad.
I agree. To me, this is the Cardinals CYA. I mean, this is them saying that they can get that some of that money back if he's not doing it.
Why do they leak this, too? This makes Kyler Murray look like an idiot.
It makes him look like an idiot, and I think that they may know that they're up a creek with his work ethic. I don't know.
It makes them look like idiots. Hey, we just gave this guy $160 million, even though he does not put in the work and did not finish off this past season particularly well. By the way, we also extended Cliff Kingsbury, who is not a very good coach. We also extended Steve Keim, who's a guy who had a DUI, and on top of that, is not a very good general manager. Woo! We're the Cardinals!
There were analysts this morning on some of the network's former players talking about the fact that there are a lot of quarterbacks, actually most quarterbacks, who have done 4 hours of homework before anybody gets to the facility on Monday.
Yeah.
I mean, to ask him to have to do four, to require him to have to do four.
Why just
four? I agree. It makes everybody involved look really bad. It's very patronizing.
What an arbitrary number.
Four a week is also, everything about this is like hilarious on all fronts. It's hilarious that Kyler Murray just doesn't study. He's just like, why watch film? I just get out there, let it rip. And then, yeah, 4 hours a week is less than 1 hour per workday.
Yep.
That's so little.
It's very easy. This is very easy to do. Is this really going to make him better, too, as a quarterback? Is he going to be actually engaged while he's looking at this film? What about looking at this film is actually going to make him better? Especially when in the past, Kyler Murray has said himself that, yeah, I don't really need to. Like, it's like a natural instinct to me. I remember, Vanessa, you showed this on the group text that we had with each other yesterday where Kyler Murray's basically thinking he's some sort of savant where he doesn't need to do any of this stuff at all. Now you're forcing him to do it? I don't see how this actually makes him better. I don't. I think conceptually it makes sense to have him put in that work. But is this really going to unlock another level of Kyler Murray? I'm skeptical about that. I feel like this is semantics and kind of an FU by the Cardinals to Kyler Murray.
Oh, 100%. It's definitely revenge for him and Eric Burkhart and that major statement that they put out. I do have a conspiracy on this.
Oh, I love a good Vanessa conspiracy.
I think his agent leaked it. I think his agent could be tired of his antics. And him not putting in the work ethic.
The agent is tired of Kyler Murray?
Mm-hmm.
But that's his breadbasket.
That is his breadbasket.
No way. I don't believe you.
So I also have a conspiracy theory.
Sean, go ahead.
That, so also, if you're Rappaport, you're thinking, why would you do that and ruin the relationship not only with the team, but also with the agent? Well, what if they gave it to Schefter? Schefter's the one that broke the contract, and this is Rappaport's revenge, just being like, hey,
look,
I'll make
that.
Y'all look like idiots.
I like that one, too. Let's be logical. It was probably the owner or the GM.
Yeah,
it's somebody that is very, very tired of it.
And because the owner's the only one that's like, you would think would be kind of like dumb enough to be like, this, see, we're being serious about Kyler
right.
Murray studying.
This
Look
is
at
a
us.
Very Cal McNair type move,
yes.
Right? This is Cal McNair. This is the owner saying, hey, I want NFL Network and all the people watching Good Morning Football to know that we are not playing around when it comes to our quarterback. In fact, we're going to require 4 hours, which Tom Brady and Peyton Manning probably had done 4 hours of prep by Sunday night after their after their game.
if you're tired of him, dump his ass. Instead of extend him before you even need to extend him. They are such a stupid organization. I get it. Ooh, they had success last year. These bozos extended Cliff Kingsbury for no reason, Steve Keim too, and Kyler Murray. I'm sorry. If you're annoyed by him and you're going to leak this stuff out after you sign him to the extension, you make yourself look bad. What was the point of doing this? Why are you doing this?
Our producer, Sean Mapes, found something on Twitter. A 2021 interview with the New York Times. Kyler Murray says, I think I was blessed with the cognitive skills to just go out there just see it before it happens.
Oh, my God.
I'm not one of those guys that's going to sit there and kill myself watching film. I don't sit there for 24 hours and break down this team and that team to watch every game because in my head, I see so much.
Is that why he didn't go back into the end of that game against the Rams in the playoffs because he had seen that they were going to get their asses kicked before it even happened? That's one of the most obnoxious things I've ever heard. You know what? At least when Brett Favre wasn't watching film, you could pull off the, yeah, I'm borderline a redneck and I'm just going to throw the ball into triple coverage because you know what? Bleep it. But with Kyler Murray, if you're acting like a savant, the same guy who wore a pink suit to the NFL draft because he likes the movie The Great Gatsby starring Leonardo DiCaprio and Tobey Maguire, which is objectively an ass movie. It's like one of the worst movies of all time. The whole thing is just CGI DUI. That's what you should think about. That, like, just that decision alone, that opinion he has alone is enough to question anything Kyler Murray says in my book. And then on top of that, yeah, you know, I'm just a savant. It just comes naturally to me. What, from all the video games or something like that? Is that why your reflexes are so flipping tight? He annoys me. The Cardinals annoy me. I hope this blows up in their face.
Yeah, sorry all those quarterbacks have to watch film. They don't have the cognitive intelligence that Kyler Murray does. He just sees it all.
You have to say this about Deshaun Watson, even though I'm not saying the way he acts off the field is very intelligent or
it's definitely
honorable.
Not intelligent or honorable.
But do you remember in the press conferences when he would break down plays? Like, Deshaun Watson is somebody that actually seems like he at least, like, studies the playbook. Is it too much to ask a franchise quarterback to study a playbook?
I want
to
play Call of Duty.
It's insane.
Mom, well, is it too much, Call of Duty still.
Is it too much to ask them to do 4 hours a week when they already have the cognitive ability to just get out there? He's not going to study 24 hours a
day. Cognitive ability.
He might not even do 4 hours a week.
Cardinals, what are you thinking? Coming up on Vanessa and Gallant, we're talking about more NFL as we're 44 days away from the season. You have to hear what Tyreek said about his quarterback. And we go down the rabbit hole of a particular Texans player who may be sending signals on Twitter. That's next.
ESPN
97.5.
We're ready for some football, baby.
And hush!
The countdown to the NFL season continues with Vanessa and Gallant.
44. We are at 44 days until the NFL regular season kicks off. Of course, we have training camp coming up, which we're excited to cover for you. But, Paul, who is your number 44?
Well, shout out first off to every single player at the esteemed institution, Syracuse University, who wore the number 44, yeah, which is the iconic number worn by Jim Brown. Ernie Davis, who won a Heisman, RIP. Floyd Little, who is an NFL Hall of Famer, who played for the Denver Broncos. Also, at number 44, I would be remiss if I forgot, John Riggins, a.k.a. Diesel, a.k.a. Riggo. He's essentially like John Wayne playing fullback. He played for the Washington Redskins, won Super Bowl 17 and Super Bowl MVP in Super Bowl 17. This guy was a fantastic player, but also just like man's man back in the 1980s when Washington actually was, I don't know, good at football. And one more shout out to Dick LeBeau, who was number 44. He spent 59 consecutive years in the NFL, 14 as a player, 45 as a coach. You probably know him for being defensive coordinator of the Pittsburgh Steelers.
That was a good jersey lineup.
Mm-hmm. 44 is a good number.
44. All right, Tyreek Hill, who is known at this point in the offseason just as much for hopping on podcasts and saying bold things, to say the least, was on ESPN yesterday and had this to say about his new quarterback, Tua Tagovailoa.
Right. To pick between Tua or pick between Zach Wilson, and you decided South Beach instead of New York, what was the determining factor in that? So I'm crying inside.
I say it once and I say it again. You know, Zach Wilson is a dog, but I'd rather play with the most accurate quarterback in the NFL, dog.
The most accurate quarterback in the NFL. Paul, what is your reaction to that?
What is he basing that off of?
Has not played in a game with him, so I don't know.
Wishful Thinking. It's a good song by Go West.
Oh.
Ever heard it?
Nope.
I tell myself I'm over you because I'm the king of wishful thinking. It's like a really upbeat song where this guy's singing about how he wishes he was over somebody.
That's so you sing it a lot.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, I do.
Didn't miss a beat there.
Shout out to Seattle Bay. Anyway.
Oh, you saw Seattle Bay last week?
No, I mean, listen, nothing ever happened ever between us. This is I talked about this on my little podcast yesterday.
I know, I heard it.
I want what I can't have. And, of course, I go back and I'm like, yep, this thing that was never accessible to me, I want it again.
But if you had her, you wouldn't want her anymore.
Probably not. Okay. I don't know, man. It sucks.
So, football.
Football.
What's your
football.
So Tua Tagovailoa, the most accurate. Here's the thing. Is he one of the most accurate by percentages? I don't know. I didn't do the quote unquote research. But to your point, what is Tyreek basing this off of?
He's basing it off of his eyes. I mean, right? That's the go-to. That's the go-to move if you're a sports talk show host. Yeah, all the data might say something else. But, you know, the eye test just tells you that Tua Tagovailoa is the most accurate quarterback out there. Yeah. He's just pumping up Tua's tires. I'll give him credit for pumping up Tua's tires. But if Tua has a bad season, can't you point at Tyreek Hill and say he kind of put some undue pressure on Tua, who, by the way, is not necessarily out of the woods as far as being benched, given that Teddy Bridgewater is the backup quarterback in Miami.
I also think the training wheels, and we've said this, he's been kind of pampered. They've given him what they want. He now is a new head coach, new OC. So if things fall wayward this season, I think it's completely on Tua, and Tyreek is going to have to sing a different tune. How could you be this excited when you just left Pat Mahomes?
I mean, you have to be this excited when you've left Patrick Mahomes. Well, you have to spin it. You have to convince yourself that this is better, right? Because it's a crazy move from a football perspective. It is all about the money, which is fine. He's won a Super Bowl. He doesn't really need to prove anything, though he did say that the Chiefs are going to win 5 Super Bowls.
You went down a little rabbit hole.
I did.
On Twitter.
I did. Okay, so I was on Texans Reddit, and a Laramie Tunsil.
Sounds like a scary place.
It's not that bad. It's not that bad. I like Texans Reddit. Laramie Tunsil had a very interesting tweet. It just says running game. And I thought to myself, what is he talking about? Is that what the Texans are going to do this season? Is that what the is that like a line from some sort of rap song, like Deshaun Watson style? Is Laramie Tunsil out at the bars running game, if you will? I don't know. And then I just started going through his entire Twitter feed.
He's got quite the Twitter feed.
He's very short, succinct, and to the point. And every single one of the tweets can be interpreted in a variety of different ways. Guess what his Twitter profile reads?
What?
Bands, period.
B-A-N-D-Z?
B-A-N-D-S, period.
Like rock bands?
I don't know.
Because I think if it's bands that make a dance, it's a Z, right?
Yeah, maybe.
Yes, that's how the Juicy J song is
Juicy
spelled.
J, okay.
Juicy J, is that
bands
a real rap?
Make a dance.
That's real?
Very, very much a real rap.
I've heard that song.
An Oscar-winning, he wrote a original sound or yeah. whatever, soundtrack.
Cool.
Wait, for what movie?
Man.
Was it Hustle?
Yeah, Hustle and Flow.
Hustle and Flow.
Oh, no way. It was in Hustle and Flow? Whoop that trick. It's a song from Hustle and Flow. See, it's one of the few rap songs I know. I'm cultured. I'm down
yeah.
to...
Yeah!
What does it say that's one of the ones you know?
Because we used to, in high school, randomly just start singing this in unison. I don't know why. We thought it was a funny...
I think I know why. It's a funny thing to yell in high school.
Yeah, it is. Laramie Tunsil's pinned tweet. Very good starter, period. Okay, period. Pinned tweet from May 17th of 2022. It's an interesting Twitter. But pretty much all of it is just like less than seven. Every single tweet that he puts out there is like less than 7 words. And it's very cryptic. But I'm wondering what he is meaning when he tweeted yesterday, running game. What do you think it is?
But probably about the maybe it's either about the Texans run, but wouldn't he say run game if it were about the Texans running backs?
Maybe.
Run game? Okay, so it's running game.
Yep.
So he is running game at whatever location he's at, which means he's with some honeys, right?
I mean, maybe. Maybe. Also,
one of these honeys Biggie's got to creep with.
He also has a tweet from July 13th call and just says, Honey Bun 101.
Honey. Mm.
So, I don't know.
I relate.
Honey Bun. Okay,
y'all
so that's something that people eat as snacks and breakfast.
Yes, it's
it is.
Little Debbie treat.
Honey Bun 101. Are those song lyrics?
Yeah, that might be like a, or a song name. But he tweets a lot, too. I thought it was like he tweets every couple weeks.
No.
And it's two words. He tweets like every day, and it's a combined like three words.
Price of fame. He tweeted that out on June 26th.
That's what? True.
Just price of fame. That's
What's
it.
The price of fame? He hasn't played.
Whoa, damn.
But he hasn't. He had some finger issue.
Product of this poison.
Product of his poison or this poison?
This poison. June 27th. Barbarian. Period. June 27th. Certified character. Period. June 27th.
Okay. What else do we have?
Certified. Some of these are just song names, I've noticed.
Certified. Well, he is really into music. He has like Sade and a couple of other people tattooed on him. Yeah.
Oh, June 2nd, he tweeted Celtics in 6.
Hell yeah, that's my guy. You know what, Laramie Tunsil and I, we might have something to work with.
I'm going to send everybody they money.
I still want the mask.
I'm guessing that is...
For research purposes.
Finna go talk to the lady, period.
Mm. I'm going to give it to you directly.
Mm. That sounds sexual.
It does. Aki. It does.
Anyway,
Luther Vandross, too smooth, man. Luther Vandross is very smooth. I agree with him.
So there you go. The Laramie Tunsil Twitter segment.
I will say this, though. His Twitter energy matches his real life energy because he is pretty quiet. He doesn't say a lot. So it makes sense for him not to have wordy tweets. Mac Jones, guys. Mac Jones, according to Bill Belichick, said, quote, says he's made, quote, dramatic improvement in the offseason.
Patriots winning the Super Bowl.
Is that it?
Heard it here first. Heard it here first, straight from Bill Belichick's mouth. Yeah, that's right, Vanessa. Get scared. The dynasty is back on.
I can't even think about that.
You can't because...
There will never be another dynasty like that again. Give me a break.
Yes, except for it will be by the Patriots for the next 20 years. And Bill Belichick's going to be, you know, in an electric scooter on the sideline going up and down. Still scowling, maybe pooping his pants. And guess what? The Patriots are just going to keep on winning and winning forever. Mac Jones is like, I can't say that.
Do you actually believe in Mac Jones, though? Like, not like for radio. Paul Gallant, actually, would you bet money on Mac Jones being a good quarterback?
Yeah, like Sundays when you're watching the Patriots. How do you feel
about him? I like him. I feel like they could do better, definitely. But I like him as far as quarterbacks go. Where does that lead the Patriots? I honestly have no clue. And, of course, this time of year is so insufferable when it comes to quotes that anyone is saying about any player. It is weird, though, whenever Belichick is complimentary of anyone. Because generally, when he specifically focuses on one person, it's because he is trying to get their trade value up. Like, that's the only time he ever does things like that.
True. We'll see. Dramatic improvement, says Bill Belichick, for Mac Jones. A lot of good quarterbacks in the AFC, so who knows how much it'll actually matter anyway. Paul, are you going home anytime soon to New England?
Well, every single time I try to fly home to New England, I get COVID. So
you do.
Hopefully this time I don't get COVID. Two of the last three times I've gone back to Boston, I've had to cancel last second because of COVID.
Well, that's his home. If you own your home. Listen up.
Wow, what a transition.
Our friends at TGS Insurance are about to rock your world with the savings you're going to have, and all you have to do is send a single text message. They have 36 carriers in a system, and you get the quote within 15 seconds. So get out your phone right now, even if you're driving. Just kidding. Pull over. Text the word money, M-O-N-E-Y, to 232323. Their system asks for your home address. You send it back, and you get great coverage within 15 seconds. This is a real company. I know it sounds too good to be true, but it's not. Their average customer from last year saves over $870 on home insurance. So, again, no one likes to shop for home insurance, but TGS makes it the easiest it has ever been. Just get out your phone, Text money to 232323. Get your home insurance quote and save big today.
ESPN
97.5.
Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's Vanessa and Gallant on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Oh, the disrespect. Lamar Jackson in the news a lot. He's wanting a contract extension, allegedly. Obviously, the Ravens want to keep him around. His mom's his agent. Some people say he wants to play this year first. It's very strange. I think it basically comes down to him wanting to wait for more money, which we've seen other quarterbacks do, and it works quite well. This is a quote from an NFL defensive coordinator. Now, this person did not go on the record and, quote-unquote, put their name on it, but this is what they told the national media, quote, "He's so unique as an athlete." Excuse me, I'm going to start from the beginning. "If he has to pass to win the game, they ain't winning the game. He's so unique as an athlete, and he's a really good football player, but I don't give a bleep if he wins the league MVP 12 times. Hmm. I don't think he'll ever be a one as a quarterback. He'll be a one as a football player, but not as a quarterback. So many games come down to 2 minute, and that's why they have a hard time advancing, even when they are on good defense." A lot of people blowing up, Ryan Clark blowing up over it on ESPN.
I saw Lewis Riddick tweeted out, yes, like, "This guy isn't possibly a coward. He is a coward. This guy isn't possibly." I forget what the other line was, but it was
dramatic.
Some people are being a little defensive about it. Look, it's a hyperbolistic statement. I feel like we get too worked up about hyperbole these days, don't we? Hyperbole.
You brought this
is not,
up yesterday.
Hyperbole is not meant to be taken literally. It's not.
Well, it was an anonymous quote to The Athletic from a current defensive coordinator. "Do you think people," to Ryan Clark and Lewis Riddick's point, "should put their name on something if they say something that brazen?"
I mean, you can if you want to and deal with a lot of getting yelled at and possibly being assumed to be, I don't know, something else that might come with taking shots at Lamar Jackson. Jackson does get very protected, and he is a very unique player. Some people, I feel, believe they need to cape for him because coming out of college, you had the comments made about him by Bill Polian. Look, scouts talk out their ass all the time. Football coaches talk out their ass all the time. But when we're having conversations with one another, is saying something with a little bit of hyperbole flavor on top of it, is it really so bad? I don't agree with this person's take. If the guy wins 12 MVPs in a row, I'm sorry. You got to say he's the best quarterback ever, probably. Because what? How many MVPs does Peyton Manning have? Five?
Well, you go back to with hyperbole. I mean, and that's the part that Ryan Clark and all of them were ripping on, is if somebody gets 12 MVPs, they're clearly the ball. I know what this defensive coordinator meant. I will actually defend anonymous quotes because it's how you get good content. It's how you understand how people in the league actually feel. So, look, in a perfect world, we would all put our name on everything we say all the time. But I don't mind somebody going, you know, on deep background or whatever the term would be, where you give them the information, they can publish it, but they just can't use your name. They can use your title. That's fine with me.
It's also fair to have questions about him throwing the ball. I don't have the same kind of questions that a lot of people out there do when it comes to Lamar Jackson, but I understand some of the issues that people have with him. And then think about it from this perspective. I mean, look, we can all say that Hollywood Brown left because he always wanted to go play with Kyler Murray again. That's why he asked for the trade. But are we being 100% honest with ourselves by saying that was the only factor in Hollywood Brown maybe wanting to leave?
Absolutely not.
Right. A lot of it had to do with probably the fact that he wasn't thrilled playing with Lamar Jackson as his wide receiver. And look, Lamar Jackson does not have very good wide receivers going into this coming season either. Is he the kind of guy, like we've seen when we were growing up, you with Peyton Manning turning like, what, Austin Colley?
Yeah.
Who the hell is that?
I haven't heard that name in years.
You know? I mean, insert random Colt wide receivers that for some reason were good and you never could really figure out why. Same thing with Tom Brady. What, like David Givens? You know,
superstars.
Guys like that? Right. It was just randos that they were making look good. Jackson doesn't elevate the play of the wide receivers around him. That is not a fault that you should say, well, I don't want this guy at all. But I can understand why a defensive coordinator would look at Lamar Jackson and say, like, yeah, I'm just not into it. I get it. He's really difficult to game plan for because of the way that he runs the football. And by the way, he can throw too. But
it comes down to system. His system doesn't work with having high-quality wide receivers. It would be a waste of money in some ways for the Ravens. Jags wide receiver Christian Kirk, not happy with some of the chatter around his massive, massive, massive deal. Kirk, of course, spent four seasons with the Cardinals. And he was asked by Pete Prisco at Jags training camp about some of the doubters. Here's Kirk.
People look at this team, they say, oh, the receivers, they're a little uncertain. What do you say to that?
I mean, I don't know how you come up with that statement, how you say uncertain. I think we have over 20 years of experience in our room, guys who've played a lot of football and have had a lot of success in this league. So I guess whoever has that opinion can keep it to themselves.
There are people out there that say, oh, he's the poster child for look how much money he got paid and, he, you know, what has he done? I'm a big believer you pay guys on the way up. When you hear that, how do you take that?
I don't listen to it. I mean, like I said, you know, people can have their opinions, people can talk, but for me, you know, I know what I've earned and I know what I have worked for. And so for that, I'm just going to keep going and keep working to be the player that I want to be.
I like that reporter. The two-part question. Hey, a lot of people say that your wide receiver depth chart sucks. Follow-up question. Hey, some of those same people think you're overpaid.
You're paid too much. I mean, they were two huge storylines, Christian Kirk's contract and what it meant for wide receivers on other teams, and how good can this Jags team even be with the wide receiving core that they have. They were fair questions. I like Christian Kirk defending his guys and defending the wide receiver core. However, legitimate questions by Pete Prisco.
Yeah. Was it? I guess it was Pete that was asking the question. It did see. Here's the thing. Pete Prisco, I love Pete. I think he's got like great, very passionate opinions that he's not always right about, but also noted Jaguar stan. He's Jacksonville through and through. I mean, the man is as tan as anyone that you would expect that lives in Florida. And that is meant as a compliment. I think that when we look at the Jaguars, I mean, why wouldn't you be asking about that wide receiver group? I mean, if Trevor Lawrence is going to be what Trevor Lawrence is supposed to be, I guess he could be sort of like what we were talking about earlier with Peyton Manning and Tom Brady, elevating the level of play of the receivers around him. But are you expecting that with Christian Kirk as your number one guy?
And pay that much money. Yeah, it's a lot.
It's a lot because Kirk's like a kind of a slot receiver more than he is a he's a poor man's Percy Harvin is sort of the way that I've always looked at it.
That's a good description.
Yeah, because he's one of those players that you can use in a variety of different roles. And by the way, I mean that as a compliment. Like, Percy Harvin was an awesome player when he actually had his head screwed on straight and wasn't high as hell during games, which he admitted to.
Speaking of a guy that can do a lot, Giannis.
Throwing teammates into trash cans.
Giannis. Absolutely. There's a sports media personality that compared himself to Giannis, and you're the one that put this on the rundown.
Yes, right? this is true. Look, every now and then, I'm actually like,
he's
oh, wow.
He's Paul's favorite.
I did put this on.
Oh, you put it in the group chat.
I put it in the group chat. Yeah. Okay. Thank you for reminding me.
There
Sorry.
You go. Mm-hmm.
I tried to black it out from my mind.
It's a very dramatic video.
Okay. So, Emmanuel Acho, for those
one
who don't know.
Tray.
For those who don't know, he's on one of the Fox Sports talking head TV shows. He's on with Marcellus Wiley.
He also has uncomfortable conversations. Come on. Give him some credit.
There's like a Mercedes commercial. Just watch it and just know.
It's so bad.
All you need to know about Emmanuel Acho from that. He is someone who likes to hear himself talk. And I'm sure some of the things that come out of his mouth are actually eloquent and things that make sense. Uncomfortable conversations. But I guess for some reason, they had him speaking at an arena in Milwaukee with tons of people there. And someone did this slow motion video of him walking out on stage like he's about to go Joel Osteen to this entire crowd. And I don't get it. And we don't even see any of his content, by the way. We just saw him like slowly walking onto the stage and he's like, yeah, I'm doing this like Giannis. What, you're a 6'11" freak that's absolutely dominating folks? No, you're going out there to go talk to people that for some reason are there, hopefully, you know, of their own free will, not thinking that you're, you know, like the opening act for somebody else that's more important while there. Vanessa, I remember when I was coming back from Puerto Rico, your boy's hungover. He had unbeknownst to him, the early stages of the COCO.
He did have the COVID.
It was a long day where I flew out of Puerto Rico at 7 in the morning after being out until 2:30 the night before, and I'm in the Miami airport walking through it, and all of a sudden I see this bookstore, and one of the books that's at the front of the bookstore, like on display, is one of Emmanuel Acho's books, and I was like, my hangover became worse in that moment. Acho, as a sports analyst, I can tolerate. Acho as this philosopher, which a lot of people have enabled him to be, whether it's the Mercedes-Benz ad or other things, it's so damn insufferable.
Is there a little bit of the jealousy that he got famous really quickly after going viral for having uncomfortable conversations?
Duh.
Yeah.
I'm honest. I'm always going to be honest, but I mean, what? Should I do these like uncomfortable conversations from a white man?
No, you should definitely.
A lot of people have had a lot of uncomfortable conversations with white men before.
Oh,
but mine's going to be different.
Me and Eddie V's last night, very uncomfortable. All right, coming up on Vanessa and Gallant, the Astros allegedly pursuing this baseball superstar per Ken Rosenthal. We're going to talk about that and more coming up next.
You going to answer that?
To call into the HRNP listener line, dial 713-780-ESPN. The Affordable Care Act continues to be a complex regulation, and employers must comply. Visit HRP.net for help.